Welcome to Missionary Echoes, an outreach ministry of the Lebanon God's Missionary Church. I'm Pastor Joel, and it's so good to have you join us today.
Dare to run with our eyes fixed on Jesus, following the footsteps of the one who's gone before us. Dare to run in the power of His Spirit, called to be victors in a race already won. Dare to run. We must have our Savior's vision, compassion for the lost, courage for the future, love at any cost. Jesus, following the footsteps of the one who's gone before us. Dare to run in the power of His Spirit, called to be victors in a race already won. Dare to run.
This morning we're airing the second part of a message that Pastor Goin preached on Thanksgiving, in which he reminds us from the book of Psalms of the many things for which we can be thankful. As we break into this message, he's speaking of the benefits that come to those who are worshiping God with a spirit of gratitude and thanksgiving. Here is Pastor Goin with today's message.
God comes close to those who worship Him for who He is and praise Him and thank Him for all that He's done. It's the biblical pattern of prayer that we would enter the place of prayer, that we would start our prayer times, whether individually or corporately, not by asking God for things, but by praising God, by expressing our thanksgiving to Him. Now, eventually, we get around to asking Him for some things. Our daily bread, give us this day our daily bread. Jesus prayed in the Lord's Prayer. He showed us how to pray for our daily needs. But we begin with praise. Psalm 95, 2. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise to Him with psalms. Psalm 100, 4 and 5, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth to all generations. Hallelujah. One writer noted that the tabernacle in the Old Testament was the place that God set apart to meet with His people, and that in front of the entrance to the Holy of Holies, the sacred seat of God's manifest presence, stood the altar of incense. And every morning and every evening, the priest would offer up the sweet scents representing prayers and thanksgiving from God's people as they draw near to Him. That was a symbol, that was a picture. And for us, and the altar of our hearts individually, on the altar of our home, I trust that you have an altar where from time to time you come together and pray. I'm not talking about a literal piece of furniture, but I'm talking about a place where you as a family, you as a couple come together. Or as a church, when we come together, my prayer is that the sweet sense of praise and thanksgiving would waft up and be a sweet-smelling savor before God. It's beautiful. I want that in my life. And I want you to know the joy of this. This is such joy. It's fellowship. It's intimacy with God to come to Him and offer Him the spirit of praise. Gratitude is an invitation into God's presence. And then the third path, the third thought that I want to give you is that gratitude is a pathway to peace. Gratitude is a pathway to peace. Are you at peace this morning? Now, sometimes we can add a layer of anxiety to people who are already anxious by saying something like, you shouldn't be anxious, you shouldn't worry. And some would go so far as to say it's a sin to worry. And there are places in Scripture where we find in the imperative that we're not to worry, we're not to be anxious. But if I understand my Bible, where those statements occur, it's more like a loving invitation. I'm inviting you, God says, to lay aside that worry. Lay aside that turmoil. I'm inviting you into something better. I'm inviting you into a relationship of trust. I heard somebody recently illustrate it like this. If your child came to you in the middle of the night and there was a thunderstorm and they're crying and they're scared, you might tell them to come close and you'd put your arm around them and say, "Hey, buddy, don't be afraid." Now, if they don't immediately stop crying, if they don't immediately stop acting afraid, are you going to punish them because they were afraid in the middle of a thunderstorm? If you are, meet me in my office. Let's talk a little bit about your parenting. No. Your admonition to not be afraid, it was an invitation to take courage in the middle of the storm. You were trying to comfort them, trying to help them overcome their fear, not condemning them because they were afraid. And I do understand that there can come a point where worry is one of the side effects of a lack of faith, a lack of trust in God. There does reach that point. But I think that the admonition to lay aside our worry and our anxiousness in the Scriptures, it's an invitation from our Father who loves us and doesn't want us to live under that weight. One writer suggested that New Testament commandments to not be anxious range much closer to an appeal than a strict prohibition. And that makes sense. When you think about the passages about don't worry, don't be anxious, they're right in the context of giving us strategies for overcoming anxiety. Not fiery consequences for being trapped by an emotional response, strategies for overcoming anxiousness. Do you remember Paul's words in Philippians? That's one of those places where we're told not to be anxious. But he gives us a strategy to combat the anxiety. In Philippians, he says, be careful or be anxious for nothing. There's that loving invitation. You don't have to be anxious. Lay aside your anxiety. Lay aside your fear. Lay aside your worry. How do we do that? Well, one of the strategies that Paul gives us is right here. Lay aside your anxiousness, and in everything, big things, little things, in between things, things you'd be embarrassed maybe to even know if other people knew you were talking to God about it, but you can do that, okay? Anything, everything, in everything, by prayer and supplication, there's one part, prayer and supplication, with. So in your mind, see prayer and supplication. Right here, see a big plus sign. Prayer and supplication plus thanksgiving. Prayer plus gratitude and thanksgiving. With these two things, let your requests be made known unto God. And if you bring your burdens, your cares, your worries to God, and you lift them before the Father with a spirit of praise and thanksgiving, then listen to what Paul says is going to happen. The peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. In the storms of life, in the waves of anxiety and worry and trouble, do you want to be kept by Him? We can be kept by Him. We can be at peace. When we take our burdens and our worries and our troubles and we bring them to God with prayer, supplication, plus gratitude. Someone put it like this: when prayer teams up with gratitude, when we open our eyes wide enough to see God's mercies, even in the middle of our pain, and when we exercise faith and give him thanks, even when we can't see his mercies in the moment, he meets us with his indescribable peace. It's a promise. Now, you can try prayer without thanksgiving, and it really becomes more like fret and turmoil and inner tension. Most people operate with the complete opposite mindset of Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Somebody reworked that passage to make it reflect the way that many people operate. Listen to it. Do not be calm about anything, but in everything, by dwelling on it constantly and feeling picked on by God with thoughts like, and this is the thanks I get, present your aggravations to everyone you know but God. And the acid in your stomach, which transcends all milk products, will cause you an ulcer, and the doctor bills will cause you a heart attack, and you will lose your mind. Can I get a witness? Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer with thanksgiving. But when you carry your worries, your burdens, your concerns to God with gratitude and thanksgiving and praise and worship, then God has a way of funneling peace into your heart. And when you live with this spirit of worship and praise and thanksgiving, even in times of adversity, God's peace is real. And it works, even in the most difficult of times. Now, I don't want to be guilty of deception. I'm speaking what I know to be true. I'm speaking what I've experienced at times. But this is an area where God is working on me, and I'm growing in him. Prayer and thanksgiving leads us to peace. And it works, even in the most difficult of times. Stan Toler told about growing up in a small coal mining town in West Virginia. His family didn't have a whole lot, just a tiny little three-room house on the side of a mountain. It was heated by a coal stove with water supplied from a well nearby. But what they lacked in comfort, they made up for in love and gratitude as their parents modeled this before them. On Saturday mornings, the family would go into town to buy their weekly supplies. It was the highlight of their week. But one Saturday, they returned home from town with their groceries to find that their little home, humble little house, was engulfed in flames. And it wasn't long at all until everything that that family owned was gone. And I thought this was interesting. Stan Toler said he would never forget how his dad stood and watched as their house was disintegrating. And he put his arm around his pastor's shoulder. And he looked at his pastor, Pastor Grindstaff. And that day he quoted from Job 1:21, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Those are words that are easy to speak in a comfortable sanctuary, sitting in padded pews on a Sunday morning, but when it's all disintegrating before you, to be able to speak those words is evidence of someone who had been in the presence of God in prayer and had cultivated a spirit of worship and thanksgiving. Toler testified years later, he said, "My father's faith in the face of such hardships helped provide a firm foundation for my life's work. His profoundly positive attitude, keeping a faithful perspective even in the midst of tragedy, was a testament to his singular focus on God." Toler said that he cried for days after their house burned, but his father never wavered in his trust that God would take care of them. That's a peace that flows from a heart that is marked by faith, coupled with thanksgiving and gratitude for God's faithfulness. If you want peace when the challenges come, you'll need to cultivate a grateful heart. Someone described it like this: hard gratitude, costly gratitude, the kind that trusts that God is working for our good, even in unpleasant circumstances, the kind of gratitude that garrisons our troubled hearts and minds with his unexplainable peace. Maybe you're here this morning and you're tired. You're tired from the strain and the stress. Things feel unsettled, chaotic. There is peace, God's peace, this writer said, waiting for you just beyond the doors of deliberate gratitude. But the only way to find it is to go there and see for yourself. God's peace is one of the many, many blessings that live on the other side of gratitude. Many of you would be familiar with the name of Johnny Erickson Tata. As the result of a diving accident when she was just a teenager, she was left a quadriplegic for all of her adult life. In the early days of her injury, she became very bitter towards God. She was taken to some faith healers and saw through what a farce that was. But eventually, God transformed her life, transformed her outlook. She became a joyful, resilient person, even in the face of unbelievable challenges. And somebody asked her, "Johnny, how do you maintain such a joyful spirit with all the challenges you're forced to deal with on a daily basis?" This was her answer. She said, "You know, I think I've just disciplined myself for so many years to give thanks in all things that it's become my reflex reaction." Wow. Is gratitude your reflex reaction? It might be that your reflex reaction is whining, complaining, negativity. But God wants to help us develop patterns of thought and habits of speaking so that we respond even in great challenges with gratitude for the goodness of God. That doesn't happen overnight. Somebody put it like this: the grateful heart that springs forth in joy is not acquired in a moment. It's the fruit of 1,000 choices. It's a godly habit, and it's a pattern that over time becomes a new muscle in our spiritual makeup. If you've ever spent much time working out on your muscles, you know it takes time to build those muscles. And there's something about thanksgiving and prayer. You've got to work the muscle. If you fail to work those muscles, your prayer muscles, your thanksgiving muscles, they'll get weak and flabby. But if you begin to work the muscles of prayer and praise and adoration and thanksgiving, you might feel sore for a little while because it takes some work, it takes some effort, it takes some time. It doesn't happen overnight, but you keep working at it. You keep working at it. And eventually, just like if you're working out, you learn, oh, I can bump up a few pounds now. I can handle a little more. And you can do that in your prayer life. God wants to help you. The scriptures tell us to exercise ourselves unto righteousness. There's a biblical picture there. Are you working on that thanksgiving muscle? The story is told of a Hungarian man who went to the local rabbi and he complained. He said, "Life is unbearable. There are 9 of us living in one room. What can I do?" The rabbi answered without hesitation, "Take your goat into the room with you." And so the man looked back at him as if he'd certainly misunderstood, but he hadn't. The rabbi said, "Do as I say. Come back in next week. Tell me how it went." 7 days later, the man returned looking more distraught than before. He said, "We can't stand it. The goat is filthy." "Then go home and let the goat out," the rabbi answered. "Come back in next week." Well, it was a happy, thankful Hungarian who returned to the rabbi the following week. His whole demeanor spelled relief and refreshment. "How are you now?" the rabbi asked. "Life is beautiful," the man answered. "We enjoy every minute now that there's no longer any goat, only the nine of us." Gratitude is oftentimes a matter of attitude, perspective, and how you choose to look at things. But what we must choose is to surrender our rights to God. And to say, "Lord, I trust you to get things right in my life, and I choose to be grateful." Somebody wrote this pledge. I want to close with it. Someone wrote this pledge and suggested that as believers, we should write it down and sign it, make it a commitment between us and God. I want you to listen to it. Here's the pledge. "Having been born into the kingdom of God, I do hereby acknowledge that God's purchase of my life included all the rights and control of that life for all eternity. I do further acknowledge that he has not guaranteed me to be free from pain or to have success or prosperity. He has not guaranteed me perfect health. He has not guaranteed me perfect parents. He has not guaranteed me perfect children. He has not guaranteed me the absence of pressures, trials, misunderstandings, or persecution. What he has promised me is eternal life. What he has promised me is abundant life. What he has promised me is love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, meekness, and self-control. He has given me all of himself in exchange for the rights to my life. Therefore, I acknowledge this day the relinquishments of all my rights and expectations, and humbly ask him by his grace to replace these with a grateful spirit for whatever in his wisdom he deems to allow for my life." I want to challenge us this morning. Let's pursue gratitude. Gratitude is a command of Scripture. Gratitude is an invitation into God's presence. And gratitude is the pathway to peace. May God make us grateful people.
Thank you, Lord, for giving me peace, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for changing my life, for taking control. I will love you with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my might. Thank you, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for giving me hope, for family and friends. Thank you, loving me so, through trials that you send. I will love you with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my might. Thank you, thank you, Lord. Bearing the cross, forgiving my sin. Thank you, Lord, for the promise you gave, your coming again. I will love you with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my might. Thank you, thank you, Lord. I will love you with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my might. Thank you, thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, Lord.
That was David Shepherd with the song "Thank You, Lord." If this program spoke to your heart and you'd like to talk with someone about your relationship with God, give us a call at 717 573-3690, or send an email to lebgmc@gmail.com, where we'd be happy to talk with you on the phone or schedule a time when we could meet with you in person. Now, we'd love to have you join us at 2127 Hill Street in Lebanon. Sunday school begins at 9:30, worship at 10:30, and 6 o'clock this evening. We also have a prayer and praise service on Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock p.m. Now, this evening, we plan to share our second production of our annual Christmas drama, titled White as Snow in our Family Life Center. That will be at 6 o'clock this evening, and it's free and open to the public. Then, next Sunday morning, on December 21st, we plan to forego Sunday school and begin our morning worship service at 9:30 a.m. for our annual Christmas Sunday. Also, that evening service on the 21st will be our Christmas candlelight service with special music and reflections on the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For more information about this and other upcoming events, visit our website at lebanongmc.com, where you can also watch the services live. You can also follow us on social media. Look for Lebanon God's Missionary Church on Facebook or Instagram. Join us again next week for another edition of Missionary Echoes. I'm Pastor Joel, wishing you our Lord's blessing.
Some people say there is no way salvation is real. There's nothing in this old time religion that you really can feel. And how can it be that I can believe in a God I've not seen? There's no such thing as life after death. Heaven's a dream. If I'm dreaming, don't wake me. Just let me dream on, for this is the best way of living that I've ever known. I'm having a good time, so just leave me alone. Sweet peace I have found, so don't wake me now, just let me dream on. This wonderful change that came over me. Once I was bound by chains of sin, but now I'm set free. You may say that God's dead and I'm out of my head, but one thing I'm sure, if this is a sign that I'm losing my mind, I hope I'll never be cured. If I'm dreaming, don't wake me. Just let me dream on. For this is the best way of living that I've ever known. I'm having a good time, so just leave me alone. So dumb.